What is my role as the physician? How do I reconcile my own value system being different than my patients?
Yeah. Now, we're not going to put a gun to their head and say, I'm trying to persuade you with this gun. It's ultimately their decision.
It gets trickier and trickier because, my goodness gracious, the mental health in this country, gender dysphoria, straight up. Like that used to be considered a mental health thing. And so when you normalize it, it becomes like, oh, gender affirming care is healthcare. This is the Nice Veins World podcast, the number one podcast for nurses who want to live that next level life and really anyone in healthcare. I am Nene Pablo, host of this podcast, registered nurse and creator of Nice Veins, bro. You guys aren't nurses, but just introduce yourself and what you do.
Sure. I'll go first, if you don't mind. My name is Anthony Cortez. I am an optometrist.
I'm Jameen. I am a resident physician in the specialty of family medicine.
It sounds like what you're saying is what, in this case, whatever the patient was leaning towards, you would affirm. So if they wanted to transition, you would affirm. If they were saying, hey, I don't want to transition, I'm just having some trouble, you would affirm.
So here, affirm is an interesting word. And I would say that in gender transition, affirming care is a very broad term. Okay, so affirming care includes resources, support groups, therapy, and then also surgical consults that can potentially do transition surgeries.
See,
and
but
stuff.
I would disagree. That's not.
That is the definition of gender affirming care. It's a subset of medicine.
Right, but it's the thing is when it's gender affirming, okay?
Yeah.
When it's gender affirming, you're sending them to these places, but it's not to deconstruct their idea of their identity.
It's to affirm their identity.
That's what we're saying. Affirm it.
But that's what I do not do. Like that is I do not do gender affirming care. Like I don't do those things myself.
Right. But what you're saying is that you would refer?
I would refer them
to gender affirming care. Is what you're saying?
Because I would refer them to what they need. And so again, that is not. It is not my call. It is not within my scope of practice to make those decisions for the patient.
But let me paint a different picture, okay? Let's say we all know that smoking, it's an easy example. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah.
Smoking is, leads to many, many different things that could cause harm to a patient, right? You feel very convicted to say, look, the evidence is overwhelming here. This is not good for you. Okay, let's say that in, 5 years, people start saying that it's actually really good to smoke, okay? Uh-huh. And you don't feel convicted, follow me. You don't feel convicted that there's enough evidence to affirm that smoking is healthy for the patient.
Right.
You would still send them to someone who would tell them they should smoke. Even though within the core of your heart, that smoking is going to bring bad things to them.
So,
because you know what I'm saying?
There's not enough studies saying that if very you do smoke, it's positive.
It's a very, like, this is a very...
I know, yeah.
Like, I understand that you're trying to create a alternate thing. Yeah. But that because this, for, because this subject is very nuanced, it's very tough to draw those.
That's fair.
To make those.
That's fair. Yeah. To be able to try to make it into smoking and not smoking. It's I totally accept that. It's a very 2D, two-dimensional example.
It is. But hear me out in how I have decided to you can disagree. You can definitely disagree with me on my decision making. This is my practice. So this is the decisions I make with my patients.
Sure.
But what I have chosen to do is when I refer someone for gender affirming care, I am not, it is not my place. It is not within my scope of practice to affirm their gender. It is my practice to empathize with them, to support them, and to give them the resources they need for their health.
Do you believe that it's a mental disorder? Let me just say it like that.
Gender? Do I believe that gender dysphoria? Well,
yeah. So let me ask you first. Do you feel like gender dysphoria is? Do you feel like it's a mental disorder?
I do.
Do you feel like it's a mental disorder?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's interesting that, you know, it used to be in the DSM-4 and then it's not in the DSM-5. But again, like, I don't think I have to be a good doctor and to take a good pair of patients. I don't think I have to know because, yes, I don't think I have to know whether gender dysphoria is a disorder or not, because if I were planning to do gender affirming care,
you better know. Right. Or a psychiatric, well, you know.
My thing is, if I'm going to, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm understanding that you're saying if a patient comes to me and they want surgery, you would refer them to get surgery.
I would refer them to one of my colleagues in family medicine who deals with this. Yeah, because I have several classmates that this is their area of focus. And so I would refer them. If you notice how I'm trying to
distance yourself?
Distancing my own thoughts about provide objective good care for them.
I see what you're saying. So basically, it goes back to the very beginning of what we were talking about, where it's you have core values and you're trying to be as impartial as possible.
Yes.
You're trying to be as impartial as possible.
I believe that's providing the best care for the patient.
That's the way that you live out that model of being, you know, as impartial as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Hola mi gente, everybody has a crazy nursing story to tell. If you want to share yours with the world, send it to me. I'll feature it here on the podcast and you can get my take on it. You can also ask me questions, love questions. Remember, HIPAA rules do apply when you're telling your story, of course, and I will make sure you remain anonymous. I don't know what you're waiting for. Send me a message, niceveinsbro.com/podcast. That's again, niceveinsbro.com/podcast. Looking forward to it. Let me ask you a question, both of you. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. A physician outside of you guys, right? I'm someone else, hypothetically. A physician who feels like it is morally wrong to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You would say that a good physician would follow the model that you're... He would basically leave any core value out of the question. Even if you feel something is morally wrong, this is the question that I was getting. Even if a physician feels that something is morally wrong, if he ever allowed something of his personal convictions to sway him in his practice, it makes him a bad physician.
In a short answer, yes, but let me clarify myself. So this is because I believe that a good physician is objective as and impartial and does the best for his patient.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, like that is the ultimate value that I set for myself, the ultimate goal that I set for myself as a physician. And let me tell you, it's not easy. This is not something that's necessarily natural because I believe as humans, it should be
our nature
to do what we are convicted to do. But I believe in what I believe is a sacred work of medicine when you are dealing with patients at their most vulnerable, at their most sick, that it is your duty to do what is best for the patient, regardless of how you feel about it. Abortion.
Okay, but best as for who?
For the patient.
By whose definition of best?
By the patient's medicine definition? Standard and by the patient and by the patient's standard.
By the patient's definition of what's best.
In certain circumstances, yes, but in also circumstances of what is scientifically the best for the patient.
Scientifically best for the patient.
Yes, I know you're going to fight me. I know you're going to fight me. Like, so what's continue,
best
continue.
Scientifically for the patient, right?
Yes.
Best scientifically and best for the patient.
Because I
there are many times.
That they contradict.
Where they contradict. What is the role of the physician? To follow what the patient wants?
Yes, because the illustration of leaving AMA, mm-hmm. right, is respecting the wishes of the patient to leave the hospital and not receive the care that I think is in their best interest.
When they're able to make the decision.
When they're able to make the decision, of course. And I think like the conversation of decision making is a completely separate thing. But when a person is able to make their own decisions and they choose to leave the hospital, that is their right to do so. Let's say someone is bleeding and their hemoglobin is 5 and they choose to leave.
Yeah.
I can't make them stay, yeah. even though I know that they could bleed out and die in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
So that is respecting the autonomy of the patient if they have medical decision-making capacity.
I really feel like this 22 caliber blood in my gut, you know, I just really want it to lodged in there.
Yeah.
So no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it there in my...
And do I think they're wrong? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I think that is the wrong decision for them to make?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you would give all of the options for them, right?
Of course.
So would you do the same for the patient that comes in that has gender dysphoria?
So if they were coming to me and they were asking me about questions of the surgery, mm-hmm. I would give them the risks and benefits of the surgery. I would tell them that, you know, it is a long process. Like, and I would tell them objectively, it is a long process. It oftentimes insurance, especially if you don't have a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. Interesting, because I just was having a conversation with someone else about this. But then oftentimes insurance won't pay for it. So even in today's society, there's a lot of difficulties for patients that are seeking this care. So objectively, I can give them the facts. If they ask me, you know, would you do it? I would say, no, I wouldn't do it. But again, this is not, I'm not in that experience.
Yeah, so when if they were to ask, because all the time, this happens right? to me all the time, yeah. if they'd be like, well, okay, but what would you do? Or what is your view on it? How do you feel about this? And a lot of times that's it's a difficult question to answer.
Yeah.
But what you're saying, and I'm just repeating back, so let me know if I get it right. What you're saying is your role is to say, well, really, you know, this is about you and what you want to do with your health.
Yeah.
And so it's really not about what I would do. It's about the situation that you're in, and I can answer all the questions that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my opinion about what you should or shouldn't do, it's really not up to me. It's up to you. That's how you would respond to that.
So if someone would ask me if a patient, was having gender dysphoria, or they were transgender, they identified as transgender, they identified as transgender, would like gender affirming care, and they would ask me, what would you do in this situation? I would honestly say, I don't know, because I don't know what it's like to have those feelings. And so what I would tell them is, if I was in your position, I would definitely be stressed. I would definitely feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really know what I would do in your scenario, but I think you're doing the right thing by talking to your doctor about it. And so let me give you someone who is much more knowledgeable about this topic, yeah. who can answer your questions in a better way than I can, yeah. and can give you the resources that you need.
How do you feel about that, Anthony?
I'm not trying to attack anyone. That's number one, right?
Yeah.
A lot of what you're saying is, it is right. Yeah, it's true. I also think that sometimes when there's something going on and we try to just distance ourselves from it so much, it becomes, I don't know, it just becomes too ambiguous. I'll give an example. Maybe like if I was struggling with a relationship that I was in, and I went to someone, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. I don't know what to do. What would you do? And they would always say,
I'm not an expert.
You know, it's good that you're talking, but I just don't know. It's like, yeah, but I want just talk, I trust you. Just like, what would you do? And you're like, I don't know. I'm saying it's wrong. I'm just saying sometimes I feel like when you step away from taking one side or the other too much, because sometimes we have to do that just because, you know, it's not none of our business or whatever. But if we do that too much, it can be detrimental.
So it is a personal struggle of mine to know exactly, because I told you on the issue of abortion, on the issue of gender dysphoria, I don't know, right? And the reason I don't know is because of my experience in medicine. Because I have had to, on so many occasions, have to set that aside in providing the best care for my patient. And it's not, and this is not a, I mean, this is just a, this is my very, very personal experience. So I can, I'm very much only speaking for myself. And so I agree with you. The more you distance yourself, the more difficult it is for you to have a solid conviction or solid opinion. Understanding opinion on what you believe when you're constantly having to push it aside.
Yeah, we had talked about this earlier, and it's the point.
I think that's what you're saying. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's saying that it can be detrimental to a point where it's detrimental. Yeah.
Like if it goes to the point where you just don't
detrimental
have any
on the provider or detrimental to the patient,
both.
So so that's where I disagree, because my view on the subject should not affect the care that I provide my patient.
But what, like, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't believe that this is, again, like putting my views and not respecting their decision. Remember AMA.
Yeah, okay, I understand that, but hold on, let me just say something. Like if I have a diabetic patient coming in and it's like, bro, I literally suggest that you take your medication. You're not taking it.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. That's my belief. I'm not shoving the pill down their throat.
Right.
Right. So it's still their decision.
Furthermore, I don't think that you have to be an expert in the field to be able to tell them, give them some guidance. So, for example, if someone is obese, you know, and they're seeing a urologist for something.
Yeah.
You know, the urologist can very well tell them that their obesity is an issue. They don't have to refer them out to a nutrition, you know, to a dietitian or to someone who specializes in obesity.
They
you know?
Could, but they still they could give them an opinion.
They could, right? But I think I understand where you're coming from, Jay, because I feel like when he was talking about when you distance yourself, you know, it can be detrimental, all that stuff. What you're trying to communicate is that it is not your role, you know, it is not your role to give care on that subject. What your role is, and it also isn't your role to give your opinion on that subject for darn sure.
Especially if I don't have a solid one.
Especially if you don't have it. But the third one is, right, but we're talking about people who have solid convictions. You know, the third thing would be that you would, you know, your role is to refer, like that is your job. That
That's
is your
my
duty
job.
Is to refer them, yes. right, to someone who has studied and who has expert opinion on the matter. Now, I would argue that it is a very scary, like this is a scary precedent to have all of these extremely intelligent people in healthcare, particularly in medicine.
Sure.
Who are becoming robotic to follow a certain system, okay?
Yeah.
Where they don't have opinions because they suppress them so much. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can respond to that, but the problem I think that happens with healthcare, and this goes back to the vaccine.
Yeah.
This goes back to the way that we see, you know, obesity. This is the way that we see almost anything that you can think of.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have an opinion, it's within healthcare and without healthcare, but I can see that it's happened in society and it's like seeping into healthcare, where we are supposed to be these impartial robotic people. The first thing is that is first of all impossible for us to be completely impartial and completely objective.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The second thing is that I actually think it is damaging in many ways.
Hmm.
I think that you can have an opinion, but you're not forcing others to have the opinion
That's
with
the
you.
Difference. You can
so
have
I
an
think,
opinion.
I think as a physician, the best thing to do is look, this is how I feel. If you're asking me for my opinion,
right.
Is this is my opinion, okay?
Yeah. But these are your options.
But these are your options. And you can, what I think is like a physician should have the liberty, a doctor should have the liberty to take care of their patient who is seeking care from them.
Yeah.
They're not seeking care from a freaking board.
Right.
Okay. So I think that, yes, there needs to be standards, but we've flattened any creative thinking, any entrepreneurial spirit from physicians themselves, and not just physicians,
right,
but it goes and pours into PT, it pours into dietetics, it pours into nurses. And that's the issue that I see. That's the real disease I see in healthcare. Hey, I just want to thank you for listening. It means the world to me, especially because at the time of this recording, I'm still only a couple months from starting this whole thing. So if you're interested in helping me build this brand even more, please share this podcast on your social media and grab some merch from the website at niceveinsbro.com. Got some great stuff there for sale. Send me a DM on Instagram and share some encouragement, some love, and some hate. I will welcome that too. But don't be shy. Talk to you soon.
So my response to that is, you know, again, this is a very personal, and this is, as I'm going through my training, I'm developing the tendencies, I'm developing the decision-making process of how I would treat diseases, how I would talk to patients, how I would manage a clinic, you know, to train for when I'm doing this in the future. And I ask myself daily, what is the best for the patient? And I'm not claiming to know the right answers.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
And neither like, do we. I mean, we don't know the answers.
These are the decisions that I have chosen based off of my experiences on how I'm going to handle situations. To be fair, I don't have like 20 patients that are struggling with this. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't been asked a million times about, you know, so I'm not a pro at this for sure.
Yeah.
But what I go back to is trying to put myself in their shoes, trying to provide the best care I can, trying to take away my own biases on different things but not taking away my own humanity, because mm-hmm. I think I agree with you. I think when you lose your humanity as a provider, no matter whether it's a nurse, NP, PA, CRNA, or a doctor, optometrist, if you take away your humanity, you become a robot.
Yeah.
And really,
it's a scary place to
and
be.
And really where many of my patients have described to me or have talked to others about their best experiences in medicine, it wasn't the doctor that knew the most. It wasn't the doctor or the surgeon that like cut the best. Mm-hmm. It was a doctor that listened to them. It was mm-hmm. a doctor that cared, that showed that he
who
cared
had a personal
them,
relationship.
That
with
had
them,
a personal
which
relationship
comes with
with
character.
Them.
It comes
absolutely
with sharing opinion. With comes with multiple different things.
It does. Yeah. It does. But the relationship between a doctor and a patient is, I will use a word sacred, but it's so vital.
Yes.
The partnership that you have, the trust that the patient has in you, and it is above my utmost responsibility and my utmost goal to garner that and to nourish that and to protect that, because when you have difficult decisions then and you have to have difficult conversations with patients or confront patients about certain things, then you have the trust between the two of you mm-hmm. that when you go into those difficult conversations, the patient trusts that the doctor has their best intentions at heart.
Yeah.
And so then that conversation goes so much better. With nurses and really with any providers and their patient, that's so important.
Relationship is huge. Absolutely huge. And it's vital for them not only to
build trust,
but not only that, but they will have better outcomes.
Yes.
They will have better outcomes because when truth is then related to them, they will accept it better than if someone is sterile and, you know, they don't have that relationship. When I would listen to podcasts before I became a podcaster myself, I didn't realize how much leaving a 5-star review helped. And so now on this side, I just want you to know that it really does mean a whole lot when people review and share the content. So if you enjoyed it, please share it with somebody and leave a 5-star review on whichever platform you use, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And if you're interested, you can also find us on social media at NiceVeinsBro or shop online at NiceVeinsBro.com. My personal stuff you can find under Nene Pablo, which is spelled N-E-N-E-P-A-B-L-O. I spend most of my time on YouTube making vlogs and videos and on Instagram. So I would love to connect with you. And remember, be a positive force and influence within healthcare and society. It's all about God, wellness, and purpose here. Thank you for listening.